This past Tuesday on December the 8th, as we began the extraordinary Jubilee Year for Mercy, I showed all of our grade school children at St. Felix the YouTube video of Pope Francis opening the holy door at the Basilica of St. Peter's in Rome. And I hope that you've had an opportunity to see that little video clip of the Pope opening the holy door. It was really fun for the kids. Those big bronze holy doors are cemented shut from the inside with a very thick layer of cement. So it's impossible to go through those holy doors unless it's a holy year. Those holy doors were last open on the 6th of January in the year 2001, and then they were cemented shut until just a couple of days ago when all the Vatican workers were chiseling out the cement so that on Tuesday, Pope Francis could open the doors. And the kids saw, they're really heavy doors, and the kids saw how, the Pope, who's almost 80, right, just pushed open the holy doors, and was the first person in the world to walk through the holy doors during this wonderful Jubilee Year of Mercy. And the kids saw who the second person was to walk through the doors. Do you know who the second person was? It's very historic, right? It was Pope Benedict the 16th, right? Pope Benedict the 16th, Pope Emeritus. We usually don't have Pope Emeritus, right? Pope Emeriti. So he was the second person, a little frail with his cane, and he had help from a wonderful bishop there that helped him to be the second person in the world to walk through the holy doors at St. Peter's. Well, perhaps you were up early this morning and you couldn't sleep, and you turned on the television and you saw that Pope Francis opened the second holy door today at his cathedral basilica. I think that you know that St. Peter's is not the cathedral. St. Peter's is just a church that they built over the grave of St. Peter. Okay, that's all that it is. But it's not the Cathedral Church of Rome. The Cathedral Church of Rome is San Giovanni Laterano. And at St. John Lateran's this morning, if you got to see it, Pope Francis opened the holy door at the cathedral. And at the same time, he asked all the bishops throughout the world in communion with him to open a holy door at their respective cathedrals. So as I was coming to Mass this morning, I was listening to the radio live as my good friend Cardinal Dolan was opening the door at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. Maybe you heard it on your way to church this morning as well. In just less than a half hour, our own bishop, Bishop Quinn, will be opening the holy door at our own cathedral of the Sacred Heart in Winona. So every hour, every half hour today, some bishop at some cathedral in the world is opening the holy door, inaugurating the holy year in our local diocesan churches. Now, the Pope also gave diocesan bishops permission to designate other churches with holy doors. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, I really believe this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, Bishop Quinn has designated all of the churches in our diocese named in honor of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus to have holy doors. And isn't that beautiful? It's right from the Holy Spirit. Because when you think of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you think of the love and the mercy that gushes forth from his heart. We say it at the end of every Mass, right? Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. The heart of Jesus and mercy are always linked together. So here in the Diocese of Winona, in the Lord's divine providence, we have seven churches named in honor of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Seven is that biblical number of complete perfection. So it's perfect. There are seven churches. And if you'd like the holy card and the miraculous medal from Sister Mary Amabilis after Mass this morning, can you name the towns in our diocese that have churches named after the Sacred Heart? Let's give it a try. Well, we know the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart in Winona. Let's just keep moving west. If you go down by the Iowa border, there's a Sacred Heart Church in Adams. Then you go a little bit north, and you'll find a Sacred Heart Church in Hayfield. And then if you go a little bit north, you'll find a Sacred Heart Church in Owatonna. And if you go west of Owatonna, you'll run into a Sacred Heart Church in Waseca. And then you got to go really west and find two more Sacred Heart Churches in Brewster. And Huron Lake in Brewster, if you do it in from east to west order. So those are the seven churches named in honor of the Sacred Heart, where all of those pastors will be opening or are opening as we speak holy doors. And our good friend, Father Pat Arns, has two. He has both Huron Lake and Brewster. So he has been sending me minute by minute pictures of the beautiful rose cope, the Latin inscription on the doors that he has for the beginning and the opening of the holy door for this Jubilee year. Now, for all of you intellectual giants, you also know that there are two other wonderful healthcare institutions named after the Sacred Heart of Jesus. For another holy card and miraculous medal, can you name them? Sacred Heart Hospice in Austin, Minnesota, and Sacred Heart Mercy Healthcare Center in Jackson. They too have special graces and indulgences attached with them. And the bishop designated one more, and that is with our Franciscan friends at Assisi Heights in Rochester, as the Franciscans prepare to celebrate 150 years of the Franciscans in Rochester. They too are opening a holy door this morning. So there it is. Seven churches, two healthcare facilities, and one mother house. And we're encouraged during this Jubilee year to make a pilgrimage to one of these churches with a holy door. The Pope reminds us that making a pilgrimage is always part of a Jubilee year. It has been since the very beginning, since the first Jubilee year in the year 1300. That's because the Pope reminds us that we're viators. A viator is a great Latin word for a person on the via, a person on the way. Our whole life, we're on the way. We're on a pilgrimage to the house of the Father. So we're always on pilgrimage, spiritually speaking. So during a Jubilee year, we're asked to make a pilgrimage. Everybody came to St. John the Baptist and said, what should we do? What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? What should we do during this Jubilee year? I'm hoping that every single one of our families will make a pilgrimage to a holy door during this Jubilee year. Now, it's ideal to go to Rome, of course. Right? But if you can't go to Rome, the Pope has brought Rome to us by designating these churches in our local area. So I tell you this because this is the first day that you can do it. I want you to take advantage of every single day between now and November the 20th. And you'll be traveling soon to visit your kids and your grandkids. You'll be going over the river and through the woods to grandma's house you go. And so there might be a Jubilee church in your area that you're visiting for Christmas that you'll want to make sure that you visit and walk through the holy door to gain the Jubilee indulgence. There's a special jubilee indulgence gained through walking through the door, a special grace, a special blessing walking through the door. What's an indulgence? An indulgence is the remission of temporal punishment due to sin. That sounds complicated. The remission of temporal punishment due to sin. What does that mean? Pope Francis, you know, he does everything so beautifully. He explains it so well in his document on mercy. He says, the Father, God the Father, who through the church reaches the pardoned sinner and frees him from every residue left by the consequence of sin. This is beautiful. So what's an indulgence? Your sins are forgiven in the sacrament of penance, but there's still, as Pope Francis says, residue left over. There's still effects, consequences from sin that still have to be repaired and healed. The Pope is saying that we will receive complete remission of these residues, these effects of sin in the Jubilee year. Beautiful, isn't it? What a great act of mercy. What do we have to do? Well, the Pope outlines it for us. It's real simple. We have to actually walk through one of the Jubilee doors, which is why I told you where they all are. We have to reflect on God's mercy. That's really easy, right? To just spend some time contemplating, meditating on the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. Then he says we have to make an act of faith. We can do that simply by the act of faith that you might have memorized or the Apostles' Creed. And then we have to fulfill all the usual conditions, right? Which is confession, communion, and a prayer for the Pope's intention. That's not too bad, is it? Confession, we have to be in the state of grace when we walk through the door. We have to receive communion, Holy Communion. And then we have to pray for the Pope's intention. We can gain this indulgence for ourselves or the holy souls in purgatory. Even our friends who have died, they can't gain this indulgence. Oh, yes, they can, the Pope says, if you do it for them. Isn't that beautiful? So it's really easy to gain the Jubilee indulgence for the remission of temporal sins due to the remission of temporal punishment due to sin. So you got to walk through the door, reflect on God's mercy, pray the Apostles' Creed, and you do all of that in the state of grace, having gone to confession, received Holy Communion, and praying for the Pope's intentions. And I was praying about this, and I was saying, gosh, if I don't do this, I'm either lazy, which is slothful, right? One of the capital sins. Or I'm stubborn, which is prideful. Another one of the capital sins. I'm either lazy, I'm just too lazy to go do it. Or I'm stubborn. And I don't want to give up my sinful ways. This is really easy. God is offering us more than $1 million worth of grace, but it's not going to be mailed to our house. We have to go pick it up. We actually have to go to confession and communion and walk through the door. What about the sick, the homebound? The Pope is so awesome, isn't he? The Pope specifically says that the sick and the homebound can go to Mass at the health care center, at the hospital. The priest can hear their confession and bring them communion in their home. All they have to do is watch Mass on TV, and they'll gain the indulgence. The Lord is kind and merciful. What about prisoners? Pope Francis strikes again. Pope Francis says even prisoners can gain the indulgence under the usual conditions if they, this is beautiful, he says, every time they cross the threshold of their cell, that will signify for them passage through the holy door. even prisoners who walk through the door of their cell, who the Pope says have the greatest need for God's mercy, can receive the indulgence. Oh, wow, what a great year of mercy. I'd like to say just a brief word here about the door itself. When I was talking to the kids about the door this week, it was kind of confusing for them. They were like, "What? Why a door? What's so significant about the door?" And the way that I explain this is, some of you might be of my vintage and you might remember an old commercial on television for cornflakes. And the ad was, "Taste them again for the first time." Do you remember that commercial? It was absolutely brilliant. How do you market one of the world's oldest cereals by saying, "Taste them again for the first time"? That's what going through the door is like, because you get to taste God's mercy as if it were for the first time. You get to see and experience God's mercy like it was the first time you received it. You know, I have three doors in my house, and I never use one of the doors, ever. I think I've used it once in the past 4.5 years. I never use that door. When I do use that door, I notice things from a different perspective. I walk in the door and go, "Oh, look at that cobweb. I didn't see that before." I'm like, "Oh, look at that. That's where I put that. I forgot that that was hiding down there." You see, you walk in a door and you see things from a different angle, a different perspective. And so you come into the church through these holy doors and you see God's mercy from a new angle, from a fresh perspective. And finally, most importantly, I hope that you know that the door is Jesus. Jesus is the door. That's what he said. The kids actually could come up with most of these. They came up with all of them, in fact, in school on Tuesday, except this one. This is the one they forgot. This is the one we forget. They knew that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. They knew that Jesus was the bread of life. They knew that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. They knew that Jesus was the good shepherd. They knew Jesus was the light of the world. Some of the kids even knew that Jesus was the vine. But none of them remembered that Jesus said, "I am the door. And he who enters through me will be saved." Jesus says, the person who tries to come in another way, other than through Jesus, the door, is a thief and a marauder. We must go through Jesus to be saved. He is the only door to salvation. He is the only door to mercy. On this third Sunday of Advent, on this Gaudete Sunday, the rose-colored Sunday, on this rejoicing Sunday, we rejoice in the mercy of Jesus Christ that comes to us through the church. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.